moment they arrive. That saves time. Pro Extra members save even more with exclusive offers and benefits. Time-saving free in-store pickup, extra benefits, and exclusive offers for Pro Extra members. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
An ISIS leader involved in the beheading of an American aid worker has been killed by a U.S.-led coalition airstrike in Syria over the weekend. They say the terrorist leader was tied to the death of former U.S. Army Ranger Peter Kasig. The 26-year-old had been captured by ISIS in Syria in 2013 and was executed by ISIS the following year. More now on the passing of President George H.W. Bush, who died on Friday at 94. His son Neil says that the events scheduled for this week to mark his father's passing are all intended to be celebratory, not sad.
Everybody's kind of anticipating a great week of celebration, and it's not like there's mourning and sadness. My dad lived 94 amazing years. And he was ready to go.
A NASA spacecraft that was launched 2 years ago is scheduled to touch down shortly after noon Eastern time on the Bennu asteroid. And this is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Gasoline prices falling to their lowest levels of the year. Here's more from USA Radio's John Clemens.
The national average is now at $2.43. That's down almost 10 cents a gallon. As the price of crude oil falls to about $51 a barrel, the price at the pump continues to fall. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us about some of the prices around the country.
Some of the lowest prices in the country, $1.68 per gallon at a station in Denton, Texas, $1.74 a gallon at a station in St. Peters, Missouri, and $1.75 a gallon at a station in Mason, Michigan.
I'm John Clemens.
Marriott facing two new lawsuits after announcing last week that hackers stole personal and financial information of millions of customers. The hotel chain saying that the hack affected guests at the chain's Starwood-branded hotels over the course of 4 years. That would include Aloft, Westin, and Sheraton hotels. The lawsuits filed in Maryland and Oregon. The Oregon lawsuit seeking $12.5 billion. And the remains of about 100 people are being launched into space today. The trip is thanks to a Memorial satellite that's going to be on board a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, which is actually launching dozens of small satellites into the Earth's orbit. This little satellite, about 4 square inches, and families can use an app to track it until it crashes back to Earth in about 4 years. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, we've got our Local weather here at HunterandChamberRadio.com, Flemington and the surrounding area, 52 outside right now, still a little bit warm. High might hit 54 a little bit later. Cloudy tonight, low in the 30s. Tuesday sunny with highs near 40, clear on the overnight, low down in the 20s, getting a little more seasonal again. Warming up again, sunny on Wednesday, high in the upper 30s, mid-20s for the Wednesday night low. Looks like Thursday and Friday are clear, sunny, clouding up maybe a little bit on the overnights, but right through the weekend. Looks like a little dry down here, as they say, in the heartland. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Chef Bill's Table, getting together here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio every Monday, or whenever you feel like listening after that. Try to explore some foods, beverages. Today would be beverage. Oh, and food. Go together, right? Hand in hand. Something seasonal this time of year, of course, coming up. We think of sparkling wine, champagne. We do our annual tasting at Jake's. It will be this Wednesday. Don't know if there's tickets available still, but we do a walk around many producers, and we're finding more small grower producers, traditionally with champagne. The producers that grew the wine may not be the ones who grew the grapes for the wine, may not be the ones blending and bottling the wine, but more and more we're seeing growers that are doing the whole thing. Interesting, you get a little bit more taste of the earth, the terroir, as it was, as it is. So what is champagne? Champagne is sparkling wine that comes from the Champagne region of France. Now, many areas and countries make sparkling wine, but they should not say champagne. Years ago, in the United States, we used to say California champagne or New York State champagne, but since then we've honored the provenance of the region there, as with many products, cheeses, anything indigenous to a region has the right to that name. They developed it in we want to respect that. So you'll see most labels will say sparkling wine. If it's not from that champagne region. So how do we get the bubbles in the wine? And first of all, I guess, why would we want sparkling wine? Why do we want bubbles in our wine? Of course, you know, we like soft drinks. We like beer, sparkling water, sparkling cider, many things. We like carbonation. It kind of wakes us up a little bit, right? One thing about the bubbles, it does speed the delivery of alcohol into your system. You know, champagnes aren't stronger wines, but traditionally, there's celebratory, have some at the start of a gathering. I know when our family gets together, and normally we have a bottle of bubbles if we haven't seen each other in a while. And the portions are smaller, too, than a regular glass of wine. It's only 3 or 4 ounces at the most. So you're not really consuming it at the same rate, hopefully. But you will feel it because of the bubbles. Kind of helps it get along there. So, you know, the bubbles are pleasant. according to legend, not legend, history. It was kind of discovered by mistake. But if you think about it, home brewers carbonate the beer that way. Normally, my sous chef, Eric, makes beer, and he does it, he carbonates it the same way as you're carbonating champagne. A little bit of yeast and sugar after the brew is made into each bottle, and then the bottle is sealed up. The fermentation starts again, and the bubbles are trapped. Sparkling cider, same way. There's three ways to get bubbles in there. One is to do it in the original bottle. As I just explained, you ferment your wine or your malt or your cider, your any kind of anything with sugar, fruit juice. And once you have that, of course, you have some alcohol in there. Now, to get the bubbles in, you need to ferment it under pressure, which means sealing the bottle up. So there's a bulk process, kind of like, well, like we make soda. Just carbonated water is forced into the liquid. Of course, the liquid, the lower the temperature, the more the bubbles will stay dissolved in there. And you'll see that if you open a warm soda or a warm beer versus a cold one. The thing with the bulk Charmat process, it's called, is that the bubbles will be larger and they'll dissipate a lot quicker. Now, in your cheaper sparkling wines, you'll see, and this is probably what they're going to be doing, Proseccos have larger bubbles, and nothing wrong with the larger bubbles, but it's they don't have doesn't have the, that staying power. When you pour a nice glass of good champagne method, which we call it, or traditional method, where the bubbles are allowed to form in the bottle or under some kind of pressure for over a period of time, those bubbles are very fine, and they tend to stay in there longer. I've had champagne that I'll keep chilled. There is a way to put a stopper in the top there, and there's a fastener on there to make sure the pressure doesn't pop the cork off of there. And even the next day, there'll still be some left. So I think the longer it takes to put them in, the longer they'll last, right? So what happens? So there's the bulk process where it's just carbonated. There's also a process where a big tank of the wine is allowed to ferment under pressure, and then maintaining that pressure, it's bottled. There's a transfer process where the wine is carbonated, it's fermented in bottles that are then emptied under pressure and cold temperature, and then rebottled into bottles for sale. The bottles they use for aging, of course, are much heavier. That's part of the reason sparkling wine costs more, too. The glass is much heavier. It has to withstand, I think, up to 700 pounds of square-inch pressure in there. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, when you get larger bottles, they even cost more. Usually larger bottles you'd think would be cheaper, but because of the heavy glass, the packaging, they end up oftentimes being more expensive. So we have the bubbles in there, and as I said, many regions throughout France, if it's not produced in Champagne, it will be called a Cremant, would be the term. Spain produces a lot of less expensive champagne, still the traditional method, not the same grapes. The Champagne region, even if your champagne is not rosé or pink-colored, two of the grapes that go in there, two out of the three permitted grapes are dark grapes. There are two dark ones, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and then Chardonnay. If you see Blanc de Blanc, then it means if it's from Champagne, it's all Chardonnay. But the Loire region, the German regions, Alsace, every region will produce a sparkling wine of some kind. Different Hungary, Italy. We've got the Spumante, which is more considered it's an off dry, more of a dessert wine. But you have Lambrusco, you have Prosecco, and of course, even Australia, there's a sparkling red, a sparkling Shiraz, which is interesting. You don't see too much red sparkling wine. So many choices out there. It does not have to be just a expensive French champagne. Although I know from tasting them every year that they really, you know, it's a lot, it seems like a lot of money, but there is a difference. The finesse, the type of yeast that's used, and if the yeast cells, what happens when they're at the end of the fermentation process, there's dead yeast cells, and the longer they stay in contact with the wine, it gives it that toasty, bready flavor and aromas. There's a lot of subtleties that happen with that. And vintage champagne, very expensive. That means all the grapes come from the same year. The best bet, what I find, is to find a non-vintage label that you like, or house, whether it's Piper Heidsieck, Booth Clicquot, you know, any of them, and it could be other, you know, American, any other country, but the non-vintage is blended for a certain style. Champagne is normally a blended wine, even if it's a Blanc de Blanc, the wine could be from up to three different years, and the houses do that for consistency. Which normally vintage wine, it's going to be a little bit different every year, and we celebrate the difference. But with the sparkling wine, one of the what I find, you know, you find your favorite. I usually tell people go for the sweetness or dryness level that you like, and whether you want a all white or if you want a Blanc de Noir. I personally like a little bit of the rosé champagne. I like that little bit of extra flavor from the grape skins that are in contact briefly. Find a non-vintage house that you like and stick with it, and you'll enjoy nice consistency in a very good wine. We've got to break for a couple of messages here. With the tasting, of course, we serve food. They say champagne goes with anything, and I agree pretty much with that. Most foods are champagne-friendly, so another, if you're thinking of how do I match up our food with wine. If you have a sparkling wine, you've always got a good option. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you! Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Bill's table here. He's talking about sparkling wine, champagne. Oh, and by the way, if for some reason, if you don't or can't enjoy alcohol or use alcohol, there are sparkling ciders that are non-alcoholic and sparkling wines that, you know, they're sparkling grape juice, and although they tend to be a tad sweet, I guess, you know, you can always add some fresh juice to that to tame them a little bit, but you can still enjoy that same celebratory, even the bottles look similar, so don't be afraid to enjoy some bubbles. We do like our bubbles, right? The only thing with bubbles, spicy foods, sometimes bubbles, you know, the carbonation, it doesn't really calm down spicy food. You need something fuller body. You need some dairy, things like that. So when we're trying to serve foods with champagne, especially good champagne, the foods, oddly enough, from the district are not very fancy traditionally. I know many times we pair champagne with caviar. You know, something a little salty, not too bad. Fried foods really, really work well. Crispy texture, light, properly fried foods. Yes, a little bit of finishing salt, but always nice for, I think, the crisp texture and the bubbles kind of help. And you want things that are fairly light, although, as I said, you know, champagne, even a white, an all-white Blanc de Blanc will match up with many foods. But spice, I would, you know, not use too many spices. And you don't have to go nuts with the expense on food. As I said, traditionally, the Champagne region would be charcuterie, cured meats, pork, sausages, things like that. Nothing that oftentimes in restaurants is, well, we have champagne, so you got to have, you know, lobster, we've got to have this and that, you know. You can. It doesn't hurt, but... what I'd like to do with wines, if I'm having very, very expensive or good wine, both, you know, kind of goes hand in hand, I tend to do a little bit simpler with the foods. I don't want to upstage the wine. If the wine is going to be the focus, I want something to, as a backdrop, to taste it against or support it, but I want the wine to be the star. And it doesn't mean you can't enjoy expensive foods with expensive wines, but oftentimes it doesn't have to be that way. And by the same token, if you have, you know, very expensive food, you're not going to use very cheap wine. But you don't have to. If you want the food to be the star, you pick wine that matches up the body of the food. As in the glassware, it's a smaller portion. We like the flutes, which are straight up, or a tulip shape. Actually, my favorite glass is almost a bowl, like you would think of for a red wine glass, that just it tapers up and then flares out a little bit at the top. Still holds the bubbles all right. I think Riedel has, I think they're for a Brut Rosé, that's what they recommend. I've been looking for these glasses for a while. I had a dozen that I only have one left. They've all broken. Had a little gold rim on them for the, you know, nice temperature transfer, but been looking for them for quite a while. I think I found one. But the tulip, where you have a little bit tapered in at the top, but really with your glassware, it depends on where the wine is being dropped off, let's say, on your palate. That's why I like that little flare that goes out there. It puts it a little bit further back on your tongue. So depending on the wine, you're going to get, you see a roadmap of the tongue, your palate, where the bitter and the salt and the sweet and the savory appear. Different taste buds pick things up at different times. So that's part of the reason for the different shaped glass. To the nose, you want to get that, again, that nice bready, yeasty aromas from the carbonation. And even when champagne goes flat, it's still very good wine, especially if you're getting a decent French champagne, at least, found you see recipes for cooking with it. You don't really need to cook with it while it still has bubbles. If you do have any left, don't be afraid. It's very good as a still wine. So what are we going to have? Now, traditionally, our tastings are walk-around tastings, and which means, and if you're entertaining at home too, I like to have things that don't require too many utensils, which I go for finger food, or too much garbage left over. In other words, I might, outside, I might serve steamed clams or baked clams in the shell. Probably at a tasting like that, I would tend to do something that is either in an edible package or something that can be just picked up on a toothpick. We're going to our tasting runs through dinner hours, so I always do one, something that kind of feels like dinner that you would have, either a pasta or a ravioli. We're going to do a risotto this year, which I think will be good, with some vegetables in it. We will use a chicken or turkey broth with the rice, but we're going to actually add some wild rice, cooked wild rice, into this risotto. So we'll make a traditional risotto with the white wine. And of course, I'll use a Chardonnay because that'll be the base for a lot of the wines that will be tasted. But we're going to fold in some vegetables at the end, some nice sautéed mushrooms and roasted squash. We're doing as a vegetable, seasonal vegetable, we'll use acorn, butternut, delicata, any kind of squash that you cube up and roast. And we mix that with braised kale, chopped kale. You could use spinach if you want. The kale, of course, we blanch, and then we will braise it just like an escarole. We'll have some olive oil, some onion, a little bit of garlic, salt and pepper. And actually, you could use broth or water, but you need a little salt in there. You got to offset the bitterness of the kale. But that combined with the roasted squash, which has a little inherent sweetness, very nice combination. Also pairs well with a nice sharp cheese like Asiago. But we're going to blend in the vegetables, the mushrooms, and actually some dried cranberries. Again, seasonal. When I cook with the dried fruits, normally I'll plump them up a little bit in some hot broth first, just so that you're not getting chewy raisins in there. I'm not really going to cook the cranberries in with the risotto, so I'd like them to be plumped up. And it's just simply, if you have a cup of dried fruit, raisins, cranberries, anything like that, just a cup of hot broth, let them sit for 15 or 20 minutes, just like, if you're soaking dried mushrooms. Just put some moisture back in them and cuts the sweetness a little bit. Gives you a nice texture. So this will be our nice risotto for that, if you want to call it kind of a main dish. Everything else is going to be kind of pickup food. But the risotto, if you're making it, finish it at the end with the butter and the cheese, and you've got all this variety of textures and flavors in there, that it'll be a nice vegetable dish to serve with champagne. We often think of wine tastings as just having cheese and meats and proteins, things like that. I always like to showcase something vegetable-like or vegetarian, not strictly vegan or vegetarian, but showcase some vegetables. Wine we don't often think of as matching wine with vegetables, but I think vegetable dishes do very well. We've got a break for news. We'll come back and one neat thing about sparkling wine is we serve eggs. We always have champagne at brunch, right? And normally eggs you would not think of as at a wine tasting, but in the case of a sparkling wine, definitely showcase some eggs. Very nice protein to work with. Easy to cook and very versatile. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
One child has died and over 40 others are injured in a bus crash in Arkansas. Those aboard the bus were youth players from Memphis, Tennessee, who were heading back home after a championship game in Dallas, Texas over the weekend when that bus overturned on a ramp from Interstate 30. A procession will soon be escorting the casket containing President George H.W. Bush's body to Ellington Airport in Houston this morning for a flight to Washington, D.C. Presidential historian John Meacham says Bush 41, who passed away on Friday, was always very humble and earnest in that position.
He didn't believe in showing off. The idea that you'd brag about your accomplishments would have been abhorrent to him.
That is heard on NBC. The funeral in Washington for the late president is Wednesday. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Bill's Table here, talking about food that can go with our sparkling wine, our champagne tasting. Again, if you're, wine is one thing, but sparkling cider, a nice dry one, would be a nice choice to offer also. And I guess a good bottle-conditioned beer, if you're a beer drinker. You'll find so many styles out there, but that would be usually same bottle, 750 milliliter, the larger bottles, Belgian ales, good bottle condition. Again, done the same way, aged in the bottle for a while, carbonated in the bottle. You get some nice varieties out there if wine's not your thing. So with eggs, so... one of the simplest things for Aunt Adria, the Spanish tortilla, if you think of that classic tapa, which is a potato, an onion, kind of an omelet, we call it, kind of a flat omelet, looks kind of like a frittata, they call it in Italy. And it's basically, it's just like a big egg cake. I've done these before. Usually you fry thin sliced potatoes till they're crispy, you have your sautéed onions, break the eggs in there, salt and pepper, and let it bake in the pan. You can bake it, finish it in the oven. You could flip it over after it's set for a while. But instead of frying the chips, this world-renowned chef, he was thinking one day, and he says, you know, frying these potatoes to get them crisp, why don't I just use potato chips? They're already fried. They're already crisp. And I actually did this once. I was reading his book. And you need a good kettle-cooked potato chip, though, something that very, very good texture to it, not those flimsy thin ones. You want something that, you know, got a little bit thicker slice. As I say, the kettle cooked a little slower, a little more fat absorption, very crispy. And for an eight-egg tortilla, you probably just need one of those little vending bags, you know, like an ounce and a half or 2 ounces of chips. I've done it with kind of the shrapnel that's at the end of the bag there. But you crush them up, not too much. You know, you want fairly good-sized pieces. But basically, beat the eggs, season them. You don't really need any salt if you're using a potato chip. Put the potato chips in there and let them soak for a little bit, just like when you're if you're making a bread pudding or a French toast. And make your frittata with that. Now, you could have put some peppers in there if you like. Again, onions, sautéed onions are always good. Or could make a sauce to put over top. But just this egg cake, if you will, with potato in it, made ahead. It can be served room temperature, which is traditional. Could cut it in wedges, cut it in little squares. I've done this with other vegetables, if you like, and served it as an appetizer. Called a frittata, called a tortilla, but with the sparkling wine, eggs will work. We're going to do a stuffed egg, deviled eggs. Last year we did, they call them Jersey Devils, which was a deviled egg with a fried oyster on top. This year we're going to do a little Cajun popcorn shrimp on there. Now, I know I said not too spicy. We'll just dust the shrimp, but with the egg yolk, cool it down a little bit. I don't think it's going to come off too spicy. I want something fried. The oysters were good. I think the shrimp will stay a little crisper longer and does not have to be Cajun. It can be just a regular little fried shrimp. But when I make deviled eggs or stuffed eggs, you call them deviled. They devil usually put a little mustard in there, which I like. Even a tad of horseradish. Not too much. But we have the eggs, of course, cooking them properly. And if you're making a batch, it's always worth it to sacrifice one, right? Cut it in half. Make sure you don't want to overcook it. You don't want that green reaction there between the yolk and the sulfur and the white. A little, you know, it doesn't make your filling quite as nice. But starting with cold water, bring it to a boil. Some techniques call for once it's to a boil, you let it sit for 12 minutes. Basically, it's, you know, a good 10-12 minutes or so. One way to check the egg, I take it out of the hot water. And when you, even if you're cooking them, you're simmering them, you don't have a rolling boil. If the you take an egg, one of the eggs out with a slotted spoon, and if it dries in about 3 seconds, then you know it's cooked all the way. So, but I would go 10 minutes and then check one. Again, especially if you're doing 2 or 3 dozen eggs, it's worth it to, plus you get a little treat. So, peeling the eggs, of course, once they're cooked, you drain the hot water, and we shock the eggs with cold running water. Let some water flow over them for a little bit till they're cooled off. You don't need to run the water hard, just want just moving that convection, that moving water. And once the eggs are cooled down, to peel them, what I do is either in the pot they're cooked in or in a colander, if it's in the pot they're cooked in, I drain off the cold water and just lightly toss the eggs a bit so the shells kind of crush a little bit. It's not like cracking each one. You're just trying to gently, with the weight of the eggs, just tossing around, just like if you're flipping an egg over or flipping things in a saute pan. Let them, when they stop making noise, that means the shells are all kind of crushed. In the pot, run water again, cold water, and let them sit for a little while. What happens there, the water is going to get between the shells and the eggs and make your peeling process a lot easier. The other thing with stuffed eggs, of course, don't use a real, real fresh egg. You want the egg to have a little bit of age to it. And this way they'll peel easier. Usually leave them out a day. 1 day out of refrigeration is the same as a week in refrigeration. So if they're too fresh, leave them out room temperature for a day and then cook them, and you'll have good eggs. Stuffing them, like to sieve the yolks, not just mash them. We like to put them through a strainer. Of course, usually mayonnaise is the base in there, but the other little trick my wife always does is soft butter. So you make sure your butter is soft. You can't have it too hard. You want it to mash into the eggs easily. So you have the soft butter with the yolks and a little bit of mustard. Then you can add a little bit of mayonnaise. What this does, it makes it nice and rich, obviously. But when the mixture is cool, especially if you're stuffing them ahead, it firms up a little bit. The butter, when it gets cold, of course, it's got a little bit firmer texture to it. So it won't be really soft and light. It'll be also, if you're piping with a nice star tip, it won't. It'll hold its shape better. The eggs will hold up well, but that little bit of butter in there is a good enhancement. Season the way you want, but stuffed eggs, I know they're time-consuming. We usually like to do those the day before, get the sulfur aroma out of the house, but could be a good little hors d'oeuvre. I know we've even done them eggs goldenrod. They're just cooked, hard-cooked eggs cut in half with a bechamel over top. That's a real old dish. That would be a brunch buffet. But we do the deviled eggs, and you see them offered on menus now. A piece of a little curl of smoked salmon, maybe a little piece of pancetta. Something as simple as some chopped chives on there, crab meat, many things, even chilled shrimp going on top of deviled eggs. Great vehicle. You can pick it up, edible container, no waste, and it will go with the sparkling wine. The other, of course, great finger food that we love in this country is pizza or some kind of flatbread or some kind of canapé. We used to call them canapés in the old days, right? A little open-faced sandwich. Now we call them bruschetta, crostini. We like to do a crostini, and this is another vegetable dish. With hashed Brussels sprouts, again, seasonal. We take the Brussels sprouts and slice them thinly, shred them like you're making they're little cabbages, like pretend you're making coleslaw. Shredded carrots on the box grater, the large shred, and then actually grated onion would be nice, or shallot, something very fine in there. So we'll saute, start the onion. We use canola oil. You could use olive oil, but canola is fine. You want the flavor of the vegetables to come through. And start sautéing the Brussels sprouts with the carrots. Just toss them around and get them started in the hot oil with the onion. You could use grated onion, of course. You're just going to get nice, kind of a nice little puree with that. Cook up fairly fast. And again, just salt, pepper, a little bit of water to let them braise. You want them a little bit al dente. Normally Brussels sprouts, you don't want them too undercooked, but this you want to keep the texture with. If you like them a little more done, of course, just simmer them a little bit longer, but braising them with a little bit of liquid helps. And again, season them pretty well, let them come to room temperature. Now we'll cut a baguette and toast it. And this is another thought too, instead of just salty crackers or box crackers, make little crostinis, get a good French bread in the oven. We'll just brush them with some good olive oil, and actually you can season them with some salt, pepper, or anything you want. But thin slices of bread, 400 degrees, let them lightly toast both sides, and you can make these ahead and store them. What we'll do for our crostinis, of course, we'll go diagonal, we'll slice them a little bit thicker. You could grill the bread if you like that flavor, but we'll toast them through the oven real quickly. What we'll do is spread those with ricotta, first of all, as our base, and not just plain ricotta. We do want to season it because ricotta is pretty bland. So I'll at least put salt and pepper in there, maybe some basil, some fresh parsley, if you like a little chives in there, but something, at the very least, salt, pepper. Could put a little garlic powder in there, but almost, kind of like you're making a ravioli filling. You don't want to put raw egg in there, but Just season up the ricotta. Use that as the spread. The hash Brussels sprouts go on top of that, and then a little shredded Asiago. And you've got a really nice vegetable crostini there. Naturally, a nice chopped mushroom mixture works well. But we like to do, again, something vegetable. It's cabbage. It's, you know, kind of would go with the region. It's seasonal and give you that vegetable option so you're not just having a lot of high-calorie proteins with your wine. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its...
The news is sponsored. The news is...
This is Tony Clark, Paraplan.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Everybody over there!
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back at Chef Bill's table here, our champagne tasting. So we have finger foods, obviously some form of sliders, right? Everybody does sliders, bar menus, little tiny buns that you can pick up that have a nice nice filling, right? You know, years ago, even we used to make food for art shows. You want something like that, something, little finger sandwiches, we'd call them, but use like a little Parker House roll and some kind of filling, easy to pick up and eat. There's, again, no waste to it. This year I decided to do a braised pork with cider. Again, the apple, good flavor of, complement the white wine, apple and onions, basically. I took a pork shoulder, which sometimes you'll see is called the pork butt, even though it's from the front part. Do you want something with, I've seen, you know, people do pork tenderloin, pork loin, that's fine, but this I want to be fully cooked, and you want that that richness in there, the fat from the shoulder. Of course, a lot of that will melt out, but I did a slow-braised season with some salt and pepper, some thyme, a little brown sugar, and braised it. Of course, I've got a good weapon, a slow cooker, so I did it overnight. It's a cook-and-hold oven, but, three or four or five hours, depending on the size of the pork shoulder. You could do it in a crock pot. You could do it in a low oven. You could do it on the stove with a little bit of liquid in there. But I just used some regular local cider, straight cider, and onions to braise the pork. And, of course, you have liquid afterwards that comes out. And I saved that liquid, strained the onions out of it, and basically pull the fat off the pork, shred the meat just like you were making a pulled pork. You could chop it. You want the mixture to be, fairly, it's nice and tender, nice, easy to eat. And then I kind of put the juice back into the pork. But what I also did, I used a little kind of a sweet mustard barbecue, a little bit, not too much. Or you could use regular mustard, but I thought that little sugar and vinegar wouldn't hurt because of the sweetness of the cider. And then I took I call it duck spice, my four spice. It's it's mainly black pepper with a little cinnamon and nutmeg and allspice in it. And I use it sometimes in pâtés, but just a little couple of pinches of that into the pork juice, and then added some of the pork juice back into the meat once I had shredded it. And it will absorb that. You get it so it's nice and soft, and you can make this ahead and just warm it up. Braises like this are often done ahead. It's much better sitting in their juice. So we've added some of the juice back in, not unlike I would do for a pulled pork. And we're going to warm this. We're going to make a fennel and apple slaw. We have a nice apple vinaigrette we're using now on a kale Waldorf. And so with the pork and, again, fennel, a little bit of anise instead of celery, something a little bit more tasty. Apples, we'll julienne the fennel. A little bit of cabbage. And then with the apple vinaigrette. And so it's kind of like, it's not really pulled pork, not really barbecued pork, but kind of turned a little pulled pork and slaw into a different version of it. But the pork has good rich flavor to it, that little hint of apple, little hint of onion, and the pork shoulder meat, very good, full of flavor, good texture to it. That's what you want, something we can warm it up with the little slider rolls and good finger food. Something fried, of course. Can't resist something fried. We're going to do, we normally would serve some kind of sausages with a wine tasting. We're going to use an Irish banger. Again, the mild flavor of these, they're almost like a breakfast sausage. I'm not going to go with spicy like chorizo or andouille, anything like that. These are small, and we're going to dip them in our ale batter that we use for fish and chips. So you got a nice, it's kind of like a pigs in a blanket, right? I mean, I was going to say, you could always, in a pinch, and I've done this before, just buy some, Franks in a blanket. And I guess the only decision you have to make is, do you like them in puff pastry or pie pastry? I mean, you can make your own. But these are something for years, even the most $100 a person cocktail hours would have some form of pigs in a blanket. Saucisson en croûte, let's give it the nice French term, right? So we're going to do this, and we've offered these before, and I thought, again, small pieces of the bangers, they're small sausages, and dip them in our ale batter and deep fry. So you've got something, again, salt them when they come out, drain them well, nice and crispy, and a little horseradish mustard sauce would go with those. Again, not real spicy, but, it's a good, the horseradish with the mustard is good, and we do add a little sugar to that, too, almost like a Bavarian mustard, kind of that profile there. So sausages we'll have in that, we've got something fried, crispy, mushrooms. We'll do we were thinking of a stuffed bread, which is another easy vehicle, but probably do a pizza, even like a grandma style, the rectangles. let the dough proof a little bit. Not quite like a Sicilian, but something, you know, a little easier, again, to pick up, like a half sheet pan. You could cut into 40 squares. But we'll do a nice mix of fancy mushrooms, cook them pretty well with some caramelized onion. And my favorite cheese, of course, you could do a Gruyere, you could do a Swiss, anything like that. You know, finish with your Parmesan or Asiago. But the mushrooms, olive oil, sage, or at least poultry seasoning, sage and thyme, you can get that fall flavor in there with these mushrooms. But we'll use creminis, shiitakes, some portobello, even some regular. They could be sliced or diced, but you want to cook them first. You want to concentrate that flavor, and you could, you know, flavor them again. We'll probably use a little white wine. Just let them soak up the onion, a little garlic, a little herb, and those would be spread on the on the pizza and baked. I would put the you don't need any tomato sauce on it. Just make a white pizza. If you're doing the crust ahead, I would just brush them with some olive oil, sprinkle a little salt and pepper on them. If you like garlic, do use a garlic oil, but have them par-baked, and then you can put your toppings on there and finish them off in the oven. And again, another nice finger food to have with your champagne. Mushrooms will do well, but a little white pizza like that, always a welcome thing. Of course, we'll have some seafood, salmon poke. We usually do a tuna, and that would be, again, a little bit of spice to it, not too much in the soy. There's a little crushed red pepper, but it's kind of like the dressing is kind of like a thick teriyaki style. But we'll have the fish cubed. We serve those on a fried wonton chip. So, again, it's like an hors d'oeuvre. People can pick up, eat the whole thing. We'll put a little wakame seaweed salad on there for some crunch. Guacamole, standard guacamole. Again, you can nice and rich tasting vegetarian vegetables on a homemade tortilla chip. We're not going to take them out of the bag. We actually cut up the corn tortillas, fry them, and then we have a little taco salt that we make a seasoned salt and put them on there. So the guacamole works. Again, when instead of having a bowl and having people dip, what we like to do is make the individual chips just like you would a real nacho. Have something that people can pick up. You don't have broken things in there. You don't have people double dipping. Pick up the chip. The little guacamole's on there, and you can enjoy it. I guess that's about it. Yeah, 7, 8. I mean, I usually like a few hot, a few cold. Little variety out there. If you like smoked salmon, you know, a smoked salmon pizza would be nice. Bake your crust, and then you can put your creme fraiche and smoked salmon on afterwards. Pacalos pitas work. But this way, you know, get a couple of hot foods and some snacks there, and you don't just have to have cheese and crackers anymore. Enjoy your sparkling wine with your gathering, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more seasonal ideas. Chef Phil's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
People in the city of Houston lining the streets to pay tribute to the late President George H.W. Bush as a procession carrying his casket to Ellington Airport has been making its way through the city. Moments ago, it arrived at the airport, and now a brief ceremony is being led by former President George W. Bush before a presidential aircraft, which is sometimes used as Air Force One, carries the former president's body to Washington, D.C., where it will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda later today through Wednesday morning, when a funeral will be held at the National Cathedral. Among the many who are fondly remembering the late president today, the man who was his chief of staff, John Sununu.
His art form was dealing with people in a way that respected their views but got them to come to the right conclusion and move things forward.
This is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6.